confirmation class of 2021.
Please stand and face the back of the sanctuary. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem, with palms in their hands, gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Palm Sunday Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton, Illinois. It's wonderful to have you all here. We have a lot to celebrate today. It's Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week, but it's also our confirmation day. We have these 8 young men and women in front of us today, and we are so excited for them and what God is doing through them and looking forward to what God is going to continue to do through them in the years to come. We thank you all for being here with us today, and we thank all of you who are watching this over in the gymnasium and those who are watching this at home as well. We're going to follow the order of service that is printed for you in the bulletin. We begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. Who is this King of glory? Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors. Who is this King of glory? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Palm Sunday comes from the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning with verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak responsively the words of the gradual. Christ entered once and for all into the holy places by means of his own blood. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Our epistle reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Due to the length of the gospel reading today, we will remain seated for the Passion Gospel. The Passion of our Lord, according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. and among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him, and there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our sermon hymn, which is Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Passion Gospel, the really long reading that we just had from Mark chapter 15. The very familiar story of Jesus being sentenced to death and then, of course, being crucified for the sins of the world. One of the things that you notice throughout that passage as you listen to it in its entirety is that it seems as though one of the big issues is that all the people involved didn't really recognize exactly who Jesus was. And so it's because of that that he, of course, is sentenced and crucified. But we rejoice today that because Jesus did all those things and went through all of those things for us, who we are is made plain. God has called us to be his beloved, forgiven children, and we will live in his mercy and grace forever and ever. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and dear especially the 2021 confirmation class here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Today is a great day. We have a whole lot to be thankful for today, don't we? Palm Sunday, here at Trinity and in many Lutheran congregations all over the place, one of the traditions of Palm Sunday is to make this our confirmation day. That's what we've done here for many, many years. And so what that means is that as we are shouting Hosanna and as we are thinking about what it must have been like to be in that crowd, as they welcome King Jesus riding on his donkey into the city of Jerusalem, and as we enter into Holy Week, which is the most important week of the year for Christians, at the same exact time, we are also rejoicing over these eight young men and women right in front of us here who are about to confess their faith and make their confirmation vows and officially become communicant members of this congregation, thanks be to God. And not only that, but I think one of the other things that excites us today is just by the fact that we are here in person, that means that we've come a long way since last year. Because I think a lot of us remember that we weren't able to have our confirmation day in the traditional way on Palm Sunday last year. So all of this means that while we're maybe not fully there yet, things are starting to become back to the way that they used to be, right? I think the people who are watching this in the gym right now or watching this at home would say we're not fully there, but we're getting a lot closer. Speaking of the gym, you know, one of the most important moments for the eight of you, yes, will occur a few moments from now, but there's also a really significant moment that I don't want you to forget about that took place this past Wednesday during the confirmand questioning service. And actually, it's not even a moment that took place during the service itself. It's actually something that happened before the service when you guys got here about an hour early, and we all stood right here in a big group. And I know you probably weren't even thinking about anything at the time except for got to make sure you get your memory work done, right? Right? Yeah, I know you guys were really nervous at the time. But when we all stood right here, that moment, the image of that moment, the picture, the photo that we took together, that's what's going to be on the wall, on the ramp, going down into the gymnasium. That moment is probably going to be there on that wall until the end of time. Because that is what we do here. We have the pictures of the confirmands from years gone by. When you have the privilege of getting your picture taken and put on that wall, on the ramp, you instantly join 150 years plus of ministry right here in Hoyleton. Your photo joins 118 years worth of photos because the earliest photo that's on that ramp is 1903. That's a big deal. Some of you, your picture is going to be up there on the same wall as your parents and maybe your grandparents. Someday, Lord willing, a long time from now, your children, your grandchildren will be standing there looking at that wall, trying to find you because they want to know what you looked like when you were in eighth grade. You know how I know that's going to happen? Because that sort of thing happens all the time now. Anytime we have an event where there's a lot of visitors here from out of town, a funeral or something like that, I always catch people staring at that wall, trying to find people that they love, people in their family, sometimes trying to find their own picture. Because no matter where life has taken them since their confirmation day, it's a reminder that because their picture is on the wall, their roots are here. But not only that, but the faith that they have is based on the same word of God that has been taught here since the very beginning. So having your picture taken and put on the wall, on the ramp, is just one small way to remind you of who you really are. Because the truth is, from this day forward, your world is going to open up quite a bit. Some of you, not all of you, but some of you are going to be leaving your Lutheran education bubble behind you as early as next year. You're all going to have these amazing, wonderful experiences in high school and in college and wherever God leads you next. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what comes along with that, of course, is that there's always going to be this temptation to let other things besides your confirmation vows define who you really are as a person. So the people that you're going to meet, the activities that you participate in, the things that you choose to make a priority in your life, all of these influences are going to want a piece of you. And if you think your life is busy and hectic now, just wait until you see what the next 4 years are going to be like. It becomes so easy at this point in your life to just be tempted to put your faith on the back burner for a while and just fill up your calendar with everything else besides church right? It becomes easy to let all of those other voices tell you who they think that you should be. So if you don't want that to happen to you, then my suggestion, my advice, would be the same as what I would give to anybody here listening today, which is hold on to Jesus. Cling to him. Never let go. And be where he has promised to be, in the word and in the sacraments. You know, earlier when I just read that really long gospel passage from Mark 15, you know, a lot of it is very familiar, right? The crucifixion of Jesus, being sentenced to death. The way that Mark describes this, something that really popped out to me as I was preparing for the sermon today, was just how often throughout that long passage, the question of Jesus' identity comes into play. And I guess just how vitally important it was that Jesus Christ never forgot who he really is and his purpose in coming into this world to be our Savior. I just want to point out a couple examples of that here in this text. Right away in the beginning here in chapter 15, Pilate is already asking Jesus about his true identity, who he really is. If you look at verse 2, he's asking, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Because that's basically the only accusation that the chief priests and the elders could have come up with that would have possibly held any water with Pilate. This idea that Jesus was claiming authority for himself that he didn't have the right to claim. And so they tried to kind of twist what Jesus was teaching about to make it look like he was just really power hungry, right? The kingdom that Jesus had been teaching and preaching about for several years was a kingdom of love and mercy and forgiveness. It's a spiritual kingdom, right? But they took what Jesus was teaching and they changed it. They twisted it. They redefined it to just make it look like Jesus is power hungry. And then a couple of verses later, you've got the release of Barabbas. So basically what's going on there is we're saying, we're so afraid of power-hungry Jesus that we would much rather release a hardened criminal than Jesus. Right? So again, redefining who Jesus is. Later on, you have the soldiers dressing up Jesus like a king, making fun of him, mocking him. Their definition of Jesus is, this guy is so pathetic that we just need to make fun of it. Then, of course, when Jesus is crucified later on, you have the chief priests and the scribes talking to each other, and they're being sort of sarcastic here in verse 32. They say, "Oh, let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe," as if somehow by saving himself, that was going to prove that he really is who he said he was, even though all of the prophecies had said that the true Christ was going to suffer and die. But again, now they're even redefining what it means to be the Christ. It's really interesting how toward the end of the passage, you have all these wrong understandings and these wrong definitions of who Jesus is, but it's in verse 39, it's right after Jesus breathes his last. It's a Roman centurion of all people who actually gets it right, who actually sees all these things happening and confesses that truly this was the Son of God. So the point being that when the world looks at Jesus and tries to figure out who he is, so often they get it wrong. And in the same way, when the world looks at us, when the world looks at you and tries to figure out who you are, again, so often, they get it wrong. So just to connect this back to what I was talking about earlier, when the eight of you stand up just a few moments from now and you confess your faith before this congregation and you promise that this faith that you have is going to be the thing that defines who you really are until the day when God calls you home into heaven, you can expect that no matter where life takes you, from this moment, and no matter who happens to come into your path along the way, you can expect that there will be some people in your life who just don't get it. They just don't understand it. Because if you're living your life clinging to Jesus, holding on to Him and never letting go, it makes sense that the world is probably going to treat you in a similar way to the way they treated Him. Now, I'm not going to suggest that crucifixion is in your future, okay? But what I am saying is that there's going to be times when you feel the pressure of the world trying to redefine you and tell you who you really are. So maybe nobody's going to suggest that you're just trying to be a power-hungry king. But I guarantee you, at some point, someone's going to tell you that you and Christians like you are too judgmental. You're always trying to control what other people say and do. And maybe you're not going to ever be compared to a criminal like Barabbas. But I guarantee you that at some point, someone's going to tell you that Christianity is morally wrong, evil, and should be stopped. You probably will never be dressed up in a purple robe and having to wear a crown of thorns and getting mocked in that way. But I guarantee you, at some point, someone's going to look down on you and make fun of you because of your faith. But in those moments where it seems really, really lonely, and it seems like you're the only one who's willing to stand up for what's right and stand up for the truth, rather than giving up and giving into that pressure, remember who you are. Remember this day. Remember this moment. Remember that you are baptized, that God promised you that He would never leave you. He would never forsake you. Remember that your picture is on the wall, or it will be soon. And what that means is not only will God never leave you or forsake you, but it means our church will never leave you or forsake you either. You're part of something much bigger than yourself. You are beloved, forgiven children of God. You are members of Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, but more important than that, you are members of God's heavenly kingdom where you will live and thrive forever and ever. So rather than listening to whoever might come your way and try to redefine you and tell you who you are or who you should be, instead, we get our identity from the one who not only tells us who we are, but who makes us who we are by the power of His blood shed for you to forgive you of all your sins and make you righteous in His sight. Hold on to Him. Cling to Him. Cling to Jesus. Never, ever let go. May God bless all of you on this confirmation day and wherever God will lead you next. In Jesus' most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will continue our service with the rite of confirmation. If you're comfortable with using the hymnal, I invite you to take out your hymnal and open up to page 272, and you can follow along with the liturgy there. Could I please have our 8 confirmands stand? Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to His apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You have been baptized and catechized in the Christian faith according to our Lord's bidding. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day and in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord?
Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe
in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired Word of God?
I do.
Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from the scriptures, as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? We rejoice with thankful hearts that you have been baptized and have received the teaching of the Lord. You have confessed the faith and have been absolved of your sins. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his blessed sacrament, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite our administrator, Chris Denning, to come and help me with the next part. Okay, Riley, just like on Wednesday, you're first. Riley Elizabeth Brahmeyer. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
From Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Okay. There you are. Congratulations. Addison Nicole Grody. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Congratulations, Addie. Carly Nicole Caston. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Okay. Congratulations, Carly. Jamie Imogene Colling. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Okay. Congratulations, Jamie. Timothy Theophil Meyer. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Okay, congratulations. Ruthie Jean Smith. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness.
Okay. Congratulations, Ruthie. Colt Brian Sudmeyer. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Deuteronomy 10, verse 20. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold to him, and by his name you shall swear.
Congratulations, Colt. Thomas Robert Taylor. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen.
Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Congratulations, Tom. The congregation, please stand. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that bringing forth the fruits of faith, they may continue steadfast and victorious to the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, in the waters of holy baptism, you have united your children in the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleansing them by his blood. Renew in them the gift of your Holy Spirit, that they may live in daily contrition and repentance with a faith that ever clings to their Savior. Deliver them from the power of Satan and preserve them from false and dangerous doctrines, that they may remain faithful in hearing Christ's word and receiving his body and blood. By the Lord's Supper, strengthen them to believe that no one can make satisfaction for sin but Christ alone. Enable them to find joy and comfort only in him, learning from this sacrament to love you and their neighbor, and to bear their cross with patience and joy until the day of the resurrection of their bodies to life immortal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen. Service continues now with the prayer of the church. There are a few updates to the prayers this week I wanted to bring to your attention. We continue to pray for Ferris Kasten under care facilities. Recently, Ferris was hospitalized fighting an infection, so she is in need of further prayer for that. We have added this week under ongoing health, Fran Burmester. Some of you might recognize that name, who is on our prayer list before. That is a close friend of the Bob Brink family, and he has recently become very sick. Frances Reeder is also on our ongoing health list. She was hospitalized last week with some heart trouble, and she is back home and recovering, and their doctors are trying to figure out what is going on with her. Also, we have the announcement of the birth of baby Layla May. That is the daughter of Alyssa Schnicker, and we are thankful for Layla's safe delivery. And since she was so premature, we are praying for good health for her in the NICU. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son not in wrath but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show to us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna, save us now, in the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, uphold this world in your order. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Hans Trinklein, as he serves you in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Our Savior Lutheran in Carmi, and their pastor, Dean Spooner. We also continue to lift before you the current call process here at Trinity as we seek the person you have chosen to be our next school administrator. Bless and guide us so that everything we do would be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy, bless our homes, that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. We rejoice today over the 8 confirmands who have made their vows before us all today, and we ask you to bless them mightily in the years to come. Be with Riley, Addie, Carly, Jamie, Timothy, Ruthie, Colt, and Thomas as they grow in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy, give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of our people. Bless all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would govern according to your will. Guide and protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you, O God, for the gifts of earthly life and the joys of being your people in this world. We rejoice with all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Curtis, Cheryl, Brady, Courtney, Norman, Carol, Ella, and Mabel. We also praise your name for the safe delivery of Layla May, the newborn daughter of Alyssa Schnicker, and ask you to be with Layla and her family as they spend the next several weeks in the hospital NICU. Lord, in your mercy, we bring before you the sick, distressed, and needy, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Threta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Margaret, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Francis, Chris, Janelle, Eileen, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Give your abiding comfort in every circumstance, that in Christ we shall not die but live and declare his works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you brought a tithe or offering with you today, those can be placed in the basket, which is located in the narthex at the end of the table. At this time, we will continue our service with an offertory hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is When I Behold Jesus Christ. I know that most of our Sunday school students are already over in the gymnasium. If there are any who are here or any teachers who need to head over to the building, you may do so at this time. Or those who are in the gym, you can find your teachers and head to your classrooms. Good morning. Let us first give a round of applause and give thanks to God for these confirmands. You guys are awesome. We love you. We're very, very proud of all of you. I have a few announcements to make before we all head off to the various confirmation parties that are going on today. The first one, actually, for any of you who are not going to be part of a party, there is a chicken dinner being put on right now by the Hoyleton firefighters, and that will be a drive-through chicken dinner. It's being served until 2 o'clock p.m., so wanted to make sure that you all knew about that. Head over there and get some good food. There's a lot going on this week. It is Holy Week. There's a lot of special services. The calendar is there for you in the bulletin. There's going to be service here for Maundy Thursday at 7 o'clock, Good Friday at 7 o'clock as well, and then Easter sunrise at 6:30 in the morning. We're going to have some donuts and some coffee served in the gym in between services at about 8:15. Sunday school will take place at that time as well, and then we will have our divine service with communion right here in the sanctuary. We hope you can join us either in person or online for any or all of those services. And then just a few other things to mention. The call committee has been hard at work as we seek our school administrator for next year. We've been contacting and interviewing several candidates. And so at this time, the call committee is prepared to present some of the candidates to the congregation and to have a call meeting. And so on behalf of Gary Sudmeyer, our chairman, we are going to be calling for a special voters meeting to take place the Sunday after Easter. So this will be April 11th, immediately following the worship service that day. So depending, there is communion that day, so we'll probably get started somewhere around 11:15 in the morning, something like that. We ask all of our voting members to consider coming and joining us for that meeting on April 11th. If you have any questions, you can speak with me or you can contact Ben Bainey. He's the chairman of our school board this year. Couple other quick things to mention. Easter lilies can be dropped off Saturday at 1 o'clock here at church. And so just make a note of that. And then the other thing, this is not in the bulletin, but we know we have a lot of folks here today who are visiting. And so the ushers just wanted me to let you know that our practice these days is that they will dismiss the pews from the back. So instead of everybody getting up all at once, just wait for the usher to come to your pew, and then you'll be able to leave once they motion for you to do so. I'm going to invite our confirmands to stand and head out ahead of me, out to the. I guess we could go outside. It's still nice weather out there, right? Okay, so we'll head outside, and you guys can congratulate all of them. Have a blessed Holy Week. God's blessings to you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, guys, let's go.